Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
How's everyone doing today? Good?
Grace
to
God.
Yeah, grace to God. All right, start us in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this beautiful day. A little chilly, but it's beautiful. Now out, the sun's out. The saints are out. And we're here to learn your word once again. And let your word flourish in our minds and in our hearts. Grateful for everyone here, the body of Christ, that we can fellowship and learn and let the Holy Spirit be our teacher. Let us put on the new man and put off the old man and the old things, and let us walk in your ways and keep this and be like lights as you are in the world, Lord. We're grateful for all that you've done and all that we have. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right. So, we are still in Colossians. And we had wrapped up Colossians 2, I think, two services ago. And we went through verses in chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. And we were seeking those things which are above and setting your affection on them things. So we kind of got into that, that we're not to be minding things of this world, but to be minding things, heavenly things. So chapter 2, as we know, was the warnings that the Apostle Paul was telling the Colossae church, and these warnings that how Christians and grace believers should not be getting into. But here in chapter 3, we're going to get into how grace believers should be getting into and kind of the things that we should be putting off. We're going to get into the new man and putting off the old man, that Adamic nature. And kind of be getting into that. So, all right. Well, it's God's word. Speak for itself, huh? Chapter 3, verse 5. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. So that mortify there is to put to death. Put to death, therefore, the things in you which are upon the earth. So that's that, the members, what's in you. So put to death these things, fornication. You know, we're not to let that sin nature express its filth in our lives. You know, that uncleanliness, you know, moral and spiritual impurity, inordinate affection, not normal affections, you know, evil concupiscence with strong sexual desires, and the covetousness. You know, you don't covet something unless you idolize it. So that's what they were saying, idolatry. So we don't want to be coveting things, and that's what that's saying there. And just kind of read on a little bit. So verse 6, for which things sake, so these things that we just went over, the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. Let's keep on going. Verse 7, in which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. So when, you know, as believers, and when you're growing and learning, I just learned that Ephesians and Colossians are sister epistles. They're companion epistles. So when you're reading Colossians, you can always go to Ephesians and you can see the comparisons in it. And these are the epitome of, these books are the epitome of what we have in Christ. You know, they're it's like our heavenly hope, that it's the highest of our heavenly hopes that these epistles offer. And they're epistles, these epistles, you can go back and forth and compare scripture with scripture. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to go to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 3. So yeah, we were the children of wrath, but now we are something new, to walk in newness of life, crucified with Christ. So we're a new creature. We're going to get to them verses too. But here in Ephesians chapter 2, and we all know this chapter, but just to kind of see, and we're comparing verses with verses. We can go in verse 2, start verse 2. Wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, which is Satan, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. And that's, you see how similar that is? And we can read, because this is such a good chapter, verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy, so now something came in the way for us. That's God. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us at the cross, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And so now you see that, you kind of get in a comparison there, how we were the children of wrath, the children of disobedience, and you know, the wrath of God comes on those things, and we don't want to be part of them things anymore. You know, that's what I was just talking with Ray about, the undiluted wrath, and that's coming in the tribulation, and that in tribulation, God's not going to hold back. You know, and that's all these things that is mentioned here, that the wrath of God is going to come on that. We don't want to be part of that. We want to put on that new man, and we're going to see that here soon. But just to kind of stay in Ephesians, let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. And we're going to let the scriptures speak for itself. Verse 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. See, you're grieving the Holy Spirit when believers are in these things and they're staying in these things. And that's a real thing. The Lord, you know, when you know you're not supposed to be doing something that's contrary to God's word, you're grieving the Holy Spirit. It's something that's, we don't want to be doing. And Ephesians chapter 5, we're going to do 1 through 8. Be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all cleanliness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you, as becometh saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, there goes another, where it's kind of identifying itself as idolatry, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now ye are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. And you see how he don't want us to be in that no more. And that Colossians and Ephesians are basically saying the same thing. You know, they don't want, you know, the Lord don't want us to be in that. You know, sometimes we fall, and that's where the renewing of the mind, you want to get back in the Word. Lord has forgiven you. We're going to get into that more too. But yeah, we don't want to be the children of disobedience. You know, we must constantly put to death these earthly things. It's got to be a constantly thing. Put to death, mortify those members that's in you. Just put that to death and forget about that stuff. And constantly be doing that. And you'll see your life in a better way. So, and we walked in that, but we don't walk in that anymore. So, let's go back to Colossians. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 8. And here we got more stuff going on. But now we're starting to get into the guts of what he's saying. But now, chapter 3, verse 8, Colossians. But now, ye also put off these things, all these anger, wrath, malice, and that malice is the intention or desire to do evil and ill will, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Even fill the things that you're saying with your friends and joking and all them things, those are putting a stumbling block for each other, your brothers, sisters. If somebody hears you, you know, they're like, oh, look at this guy. This Christian talks like this, you know. And it's, you know, then you do it and fine, you know, you sinned or whatever. But you want to catch yourself and be like, okay, well, next time, you know, I'm going to, you know, and sometimes I catch myself and then I'd be like, well, I shouldn't be talking this way or whatever. But as long as you're growing toward and moving forward toward that, you know, and the Lord sees that. The Lord sees everything. We don't hide. He can't hide nothing from the Lord. He sees everything you do from, and he knows. So, and that's the only person that we should be even worried about what we're doing, you know. So, and so let's go to verse 9. Lie, and here we go. Now we got into the lie. So lie not one to another, seeing that you put off the old man with his deeds. So we went through all these things that, you know, that we can get the wrath of God on, and he ends with the lie here. And lying, you know, Christians, obviously we shouldn't be lying, but who is the father of lies? It's Satan himself. So, you know, he's the father of lies, and he ends here with, you know, put off the old man with his deeds. So, we want to experientially put off the Adamic and old nature. You know, that's this. We want this. Now we're getting into our experiences now. You know, what we experience, and we want to put on that new man. So let's see. I think I got some things. So, even though you've put off the old man, positionally, in a sense, that old man is very much alive. So, we have two natures, as we all know, that's battling. We have the Adamic nature, and we have our new spirit, the Christ spirit, that, you know, the Holy Spirit that seals us. And they're constantly battling. And, you know, I heard, the AAs, they use the wolf analogy. You know, which wolf are you going to feed inside of you, you know, good or bad? But that's something else. But we obviously want to put off that old one and put in, start feeding our spirit that the Lord has, you know, that he's sealed us with, to get interested in these things, the things that are above, like we read in verse 1 through 4, you know, those things that are above, occupy that position, occupy it experientially. You know, these things are not just for us to read and then forget about them, you know, as our, and our, and we're all, we all are too, you know, like, we've all done that. I've done it, we've read it, and we still go out and do things you're not supposed to, being a bad example as a Christian. And I'm grateful that I'm working toward that. And I think we all should, you know, because we have a position that's higher than any position here on earth. You know, we're with the, as we know, we're with the Lord. You know, he's at the right hand of the Father, a position of favor. And that's how the Lord sees us, fellow heirs. So, I get to thinking of that, and I'm like, yeah, I'll take that. So, and we got to live it out, you know. Live it out daily. Whatever, even the little things, you know. If you share the gospel with the unbeliever, you know, the Lord sees that. If you're helping, you know, you're in the church and you're edifying each other and sharpening each other, Lord sees that. Or even like with Pastor Paul Belbach, he was moving, and some of the people, the saints, helped him move. You know, Lord sees that, and it's all for the growing. Because now what? Now Paul can be in where he's at comfortably and start preaching the word, you know, get so he can do what he has to do. So it's all for the furtherance of the gospel. Whoever's furthering the gospel, that's what the Lord sees, and we're doing a good deed. So let's see. All right, so let's do, now we're going into verse 10. Excuse me, I got my notes still all over the place here, but verse 10. So now we see that we're, and this is that Christian walk that I'm saying, that this is what Christians we should be on for today. And, you know, and in chapter 2, they were warning us saying, hey, well, this, don't do this, but now do this, you know. And verse 10, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. So that new man, renewing, you know, renewed in knowledge, just constantly that full knowledge, just constantly, you know. And let's look to scriptures. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14. And we know these, but it's always good to recap. And just to kind of, you know, they this new man that we're supposed to put on, the world sees that as folly. But, you know, the world sees that as weakness, sees that as, you know, oh, well, you're trying to be a holy Christian, or you're trying to do this, and you're going to feel it. One way or another, the world's going to let you feel it, you know, and you have to be ready to stand and say, hey, I'm in the right position, you're not, and get on this side, because you have an eternal damnation, which I think is far, is way overlooked, you know, like, hell is no place that you don't even want to even joke about, you know, hell, the lake of fire, just them two words, when just on our finite human mind, should scare the crap out of you, you know, like, it's like you don't want to get on this page. What the Lord has offered, grace, love, peace, you know, and you want to continue and with the world, you have a place that the Lord has for people that don't want to be saved, that don't want to believe, and it's the place of torment, of constant torment, physical, mental, forever. So we don't want to be part of that. You want to get on that right hand of favor with the Lord. You want to be on the right hand of the Father, positioned with Christ in the heavenlies. Just hearing that is a beautiful saying, you know. So, I have a quote from Pastor Stan. And the world looks at the Bible in the light of things. We look at things in the light of the Bible. So we use the Bible when we see the world. They want to use the world, and when they see the, like, when they, their own ideologies, what they think is what's right, and what they, instead of, and we use the Bible as our guide, as our, you know, that when we differentiate what's right and wrong, we know we can go, okay, what saith the scripture about this? And I'm grateful to be in a church like this that people do that. You know, they don't just let whatever, you know, the doctrines that toss you to and fro. They don't just let that. And here, we question what's right and wrong. And even if anybody's teaching, I enjoy that somebody would come up to me and say, hey, well, I don't know about that, you know, because that's the sharpening. Hey, we want to get this right, right? So, and we all know what the Lord says about the wisdom of this world. Hath not God made foolishness the wisdom of this world? 1 Corinthians 1:20. 1 Corinthians 1:23, weak through 25. Weakness of God is wiser than men. You know, what you think God is weak on is wiser than what you got going on. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 19. Wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. See, sin is no joke. It is no joke. That sin that Adam did all this to us, you know. So in that one sin, so this sin is no joke. And so let's move forward. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Oh, not even there. Verse 14. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should henceforth live, should not henceforth live unto themselves. We see, we don't live unto ourselves no more. We live for Christ. And like I say, it's God's word. It's God's word. And this is not me saying it. It's not anybody. That's the word of the Lord saying it. So, but unto him which died for them and rose again. So he died for us. He loved us. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, which, earthly ministry, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. And a new creature, we're something brand new. This was before, this was that mystery, that secret that God kept. And what is Deuteronomy 29:29? And I'd say this to challenge people, of high authority in this world. The secret things belong to God. That's God's realm, and He revealed that to us. And He revealed that we now are a new creature through Paul's epistles. We got something brand new, and we're not like that how before. And now let's go to Ephesians, kind of solidify. And there we go again, going back to Ephesians. And that's what the whole idea of comparing Scripture with Scripture is, that we bounce back, and the Holy Spirit is just letting you know, instead of it being of yourself, because that's where the problem comes, when you start analyzing and, well, I think, I used to live in New Mexico, and people in different parts of the country or the world, they have their own sayings, and they used to say, a lot of things they used to say is, my theory is, that was like a thing that they used to say, well, my theory, that was just like a saying that they always said, well, we're not into theories. We want to know what the facts and what the truth is. And God's word has standed the test of time. It's been through kingdoms. It's been through wars. It's been through so many, and it's still intact. And when you analyze it with an unbiased mind, you see that God's word doesn't contradict itself, and it's got so many truths that that our mind can't even comprehend how it is true. So, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. And we're kind of staying on the task of now we put on the new man, put off the old man. And how we should be. So, verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. See how their own mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them. And that ignorance is not that sometimes it's not that they're dumb. It's just that they just don't know. They've never been taught. So that is in them because of the blindness of their hearts, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, yeah, cinnamon. I lost my place. Oh, to work all cleanliness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so, and this is where kind of going through this. If so, be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as truth is in Jesus. See, the truth is in Jesus. That ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt. See, that's God's word saying that. This is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. It's constantly renewing that we should be doing. And that ye, verse 24, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. See, the Lord sees us in him. And he sees us, you know, that new man, it's not that he don't see our, he sees how, sees us in righteousness and holiness in Christ. It's not, he knows that we're sinners. It's the whole reason he died, you know, because he's like, man, these guys, you're just going to sin forever. I got to intervene. And this is all part of his plan, but, you know, this is all planned out before the world began. You know, this was a secret. And thank God that we're part of that secret, you know. Just the average people like you and I that just, you know, from the south suburbs of Chicago, from Indiana, you know, this is one spot of the whole world. And the Lord is using just people like us to, and he's given us a spot, you know. And we're just, you know, just, we're just people that just live out in this earth and deal with this, and he sees that. He sees what things you go through and the things that you've, the, you know, your sorrows and your sadnesses and, you know, your circumstance and how what you were born and how you were raised. And he sees that. And he's like, okay, yeah. You know, they were the Gentiles. You know, we were the heathen. You know, and that's now he's like, no, we're going to. You know, and I'm pretty sure that's why Israel today, the Jews, they don't want to get into that. They want to still be part of their, you know, position, and, you know, and I'm pretty sure I'm gonna get into that. But for the Jews, that if any Jew is listening or that wants to be part of the, you know, the kingdom, then you have to be part of the body of Christ to be saved today.
Amen.
Yep. And there's no, your, that legalism and all the law, that's dead. And there's plenty of Bible verses that you can find to see that. So, and, okay, let's go back to Colossians. And verse 11. And here we go here. This is saying what I was just saying. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. So they all, keeping the feast and the ordinances, that ain't going to help you. The Jew has to be just like the Gentile. They have to be part of the body of Christ. The Lord has made a level playing field. You know, he stopped that. Oh, Israel first. And, you know, even though that was according to all his plans, now the Israel, you know, they are spiritually blinded today. And because of what they've done, you know, you killed the Lord Jesus Christ. So, you know, they had the three strikes, you're out. You know, they've hit on the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Beheaded John the Baptist, killed Christ, and stoned Stephen after offering the kingdom and put you guys aside, put that program aside, and brought this one that was this beautiful, beautiful program, which is the mystery. It's beautiful. It's God's handiwork that he kept it, and now it's ours. You know, fellow heirs. Verse 12. And here we go some more. Now he's just reminding you, hey, be renewed. There's, well, no matter who you are, you got to be part of this program. And put on, therefore, as the elect of God. So, see, God has saved us by his grace. Holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long suffering. We have all these that we, that, instead of those ones that, you know, that that had the wrath of God coming to them, now here's the Lord saying, hey, you know, be loving, be kind to each other, long suffering, you know, don't just, we all mess up. You know, you get mad at another Christian or another person, and you're like, man, you know, piece of crap, and you want to be mad at them. But the Lord says, hey, you know, and I, you know what? And watch, let's do verse 13. Forbearing one another. See, that's a Christian. Just forgiving, forbearing, you know, we all sin, and forgiving one another. If any man have quarreled against any, even as Christ forgave ye, so also do ye. See, the Lord didn't have to do what he did for us. You know, he didn't have to do for, you know, what he did for us. He's God. He could do whatever. But see, in his infinite wisdom that we can't understand, because the wisdom of man is, you know, there's no good. He knew, hey, well, whatever his plan was, that perfect plan was to have us sit in the heavenlies with him. That whatever that was, it just for us to be part of the program. And he wants us to see this. He don't want us to overlook this. He wants us to see this and to know this and have that full assurance of understanding. Remember in chapters before, the full assurance of faith, full assurance of hope, and then the third, which is the where you're becoming more complete, which is the full assurance of understanding, where you're fully assured on what you know, and then you understand. You know this to the bone, to the core, where it's like, yeah, this is it, and this is what I believe, and I know this is where I'm going to go. And you get a peace, which we're going to get into. You get a peace that passeth all understanding. You get that. You get that. You feel it, and you know it. You know, no matter what's going on, you know, the wars. Imagine if this was Ukraine, you know, or Russia. Then what? Well, all your assets are gone. All your house is blown up. Your family's probably half dead. Everyone's, you know, you're running away, going to a new country, trying to run away from what's happening. Are you going to have that full assurance of understanding? Are you going to have that peace? See, this is where where we're at now. We can get that. And if something like that were to happen, you have the scriptures to back you up. You have the Lord to back you up and to keep you, you know, sane. And so we pray, you know, we want to pray for the people out there, because they're going through stuff that, you know, that we're not, definitely not going, you know. And, you know, don't let the quarrels of family members or, you know, in relationships, don't burn that. Forgive each other. You know, I work with my cousin, and we kind of butt heads sometimes, you know. You know how they say, don't hire family, and he says it, you know. But I get where he's saying, but we do butt heads, because, you know, that's just how I guess it works. But if it wasn't for God's word, I probably would have quit. We probably wouldn't have hate each other, you know what I mean? But we work it out, and I'm grateful for my cousin if he's hearing. So, because I'm doing what I'm doing here, my family's happy, everybody's good. So, all right. So that's just an example, you know. Let me kind of skim through my notes here. yeah. So forbear one another, understanding that all of us still, as far as our experience is concerned, carry that old nature within us. Others have the same struggles. So yeah, that's what the others, you know, we all have the same struggles. And like we said, you know, be kind and tenderhearted toward each other, because Christ has done that for us. He didn't have to save us and forgive us. He could have left us to the wayside, and he didn't. So the least we can do is be like that toward each other. You know, even our and we're not going to get into it, but even, you know, in verse 18 in the same chapter 3, Colossians, you know, it gets into the wives and husbands, and even for our wives, you want to be forbearing one another and loving each other. So, husbands and wives. So, verse 14. All right. And above all these things, put on charity, which is love, which is the bond of perfectness. So that bond of perfectness, of charity, is mature and complete, that perfectness. And it's a sign of our spiritual maturity. You know, we want to be spiritually mature because that, you know, that love that we have for each other, it's that bond. You know, that we want to stay bonded with each other and keep with love. And I believe that's what that's saying. You know, to be mature, that perfectness is mature and complete, and that love is the sign of our spiritual maturity. And verse 15. And let the peace of God, there we go, rule in your hearts. See, that's a strong, that word rule is strong to me. He wants it to be, let that peace rule in your hearts. Not the anger, not malice, not wrath, not the, you know, all these things. He wants the peace. That peace of God, to rule in your hearts, to which also you are called in one body, and be thankful. Have we been thankful for what we have? I know I've, in times past, I was not a thankful, grateful person. And the Lord seen that, and He worked in me, and now, you know, I'm in a much better place. So I try to be as thankful as much as I can. Because we can not be thankful for what we have. The food that we have, the families that we have, the friends that we can call someone and be like, hey brother, hey sister, I need this, or help me with this, or, you know, or just the roof over our heads, the money that we have, that we're not living homeless like some people are. Or we're not in a war-torn country. Or we're not in a super suppressed country where the government tells them literally what to do. That there's people literally can't preach God's word. And they have to do it in secret. Or they're going to go to jail. And then you might not ever see that person ever again. And we don't live in that kind of thing. So let's just be thankful. And he's telling the Colossians this. You know, let that peace. And be thankful. And that we're in this one body. See, Paul's epistle is always talking about that one, you know, one body, one faith, one baptism, you know, that's so, and that body of Christ that we're in. And let's see, and verse, yeah, peace is one of the greatest blessings the human heart can contain. This is, you know, we're always sometimes worried about our financial. Or, you know, if our family members hate us, or we're at work and our work is obnoxious and hateful, you know. And if you can find peace in that, you know, to have peace of God, we need to experience peace with God. And God wants you to get in His Word and see what this peace He's talking about. Because how are you ever going to get it? Yeah, you'll get it by listening to some verses online or other church members, but God wants you to do this for yourself. You know, if the one objective that if anybody hears me is to be saved. If you can be saved, you know, Ephesians 2 verse 8 or 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, you know, get saved and study on your own. Try and get into a thing that you get into the Word for yourself. Don't let me or anybody say what it is. Find this peace for yourself. And that's what, if anybody hears me out, then that's what I would like, you know. The death of Christ accomplished this peace for this believers. So that's why the Lord died for us, so we can have this peace. You know, Romans 4:25 talks about it, Romans 5:1, and that we are justified by faith, Romans 4:5. And these verses I'm saying, go and look them up for yourself. And a lot of Christians sadly don't have peace. You know, they can't accept the fact that God has justified them from all things. And that's a sad thing. You know, they think that they have to keep working and keep doing good and being good and whatever their ordinances are, and maybe they misstepped. And one thing that just, I like the AA meetings. It helped me. So, but one thing that kind of throws me off is like some people will do so good, and then they kind of mess up, and they're like, they're just devastated, you know? And I'm trying to get to a certain thing here, but even if it's like a Christian, you know, into whatever religion they're in, and they're doing so good, and then they mess up, and now everyone's looking down on them, and they're evil, and they don't know, and then they're like, they question their, you know, that's, to me, that's no way to live. You know, you're questioning if you're saved or not, just because some people in your church are telling you that you're failed, and you're a failure, and you did one wrong thing, and one wrong thing, don't get me wrong, could lead to big problems. So that's, you know, and I can account for that, and I'm sure most of us can. You know, you do one wrong thing, you can almost regret it for a lot of times in your life. And the Lord, in grace, the Lord forgives that.
Amen.
So, and you're only going to find that in Paul's epistles.
Amen.
You're not going to find that in the, you know, like, and if you wanted to follow the law, and like truly follow the law, if you did anything wrong, then your punishment should be death.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, not just, you know, we don't have that. We're not going to be, you know, like, so the churches, even in their law, they're not even teaching it right, because a lot of punishments are death. And by stoning, you know, they were stoning, and that was when the law was first introduced, and they were doing it right because God was there with them, and it kind of got diluted all the way to when Christ was on earth. But we don't have that. We have peace.
Amen.
Love. This economy is under love and peace, and He sees that, and we don't have to deal with that. So if you're stuck in legalism where you have to's, you don't have to. The only thing you have to believe is that Christ died on the cross.
Amen.
For you. And He was buried, and then He rose, and He died for your sins. And that's it. And you have that peace. And then all He asks is to read His word. That's all He really... He just asks you to read and study and be loving toward each other. I don't see how... I don't even know how... See, Satan is subtle, and he's got his dirty little hands in all the world, and the world is saying that God is bad, Christ is bad. There's no way, because we're reading it, you know, for ourselves. And you could do that too. So, verse 16. Let the word of Christ, there we go, the word of Christ, dwell in you richly in all wisdom. God wants it to dwell in you richly. In all wisdom, not of the wisdom of this world, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. With grace in your hearts to the Lord. To me, that's a beautiful thing. You know, and we can kind of soak on that, but... and I do want to get into this. Galatians chapter 1. So that's something to be... Just let sink in, you know. The word of Christ. And here goes more proof of why we do what we do. Chapter 1, verse 10. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be a servant of Christ. So we're not here to please men. We're here to please Christ. Verse 11. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's the Apostle Paul. The word of Christ was taught to him. Okay? It was not taught to... This was not... He did not learn this from any man. That's proof right there. So he didn't... He didn't learn that from no one but the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a pure, direct revelation to this guy, the Apostle Paul. And this, and so the red letter Bibles that has the red letters of Jesus Christ in it, to me, I think they can be deceiving. So, because Paul has given Christ's greatest message of all time.
That's right.
And we just seen that this is revelation was from Christ to Paul. So those red letters should be all Paul's epistles. You know what I mean? Paul's writings are the revelation from the glorified Lord in heaven. So, and then you would get a question like, some say that Christ didn't write them. Well, Christ didn't write any part of the Bible. But what is the difference whether Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, or Paul wrote them? This is the difference. Paul's writings are of greater importance because they supersede what was written in Christ's earthly ministry today in the dispensation of grace. Paul's writing supersedes anything that was taught in the earth, Christ's earthly ministry. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, those guys wrote them books. Paul wrote Paul's epistles. So still a guy, men were writing the books, obviously by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. But what is the difference? The difference is that Paul is for today, and there's too much proof, too much, and I'm grateful that there's teachers that have taught me, and that's how I learned. You know, some people read it and see it for themselves, but I learned off of hearing from others, and that's where everyone comes in, where they share the gospel. And this is what it is. Paul's epistles supersede Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They, by far, because it's our commandments for today. And then Colossians, let's go back to Colossians and we'll finish off. Colossians verse 17. My notes are all over the place. I also just wanted to quickly say, and I wanted to go, if you wanted to go, Ephesians chapter 5, 17 through 20 is a kind of sister verse to verse 16 in chapter 3 of Colossians. But I just wanted to kind of say, isn't it a beautiful thing that the Lord wants His people to be happy, cheerful, and joyous for what He's done for us. He don't want us to be mad. See, this is what I'm saying. He don't want us to be mad or evil or malice. He wants us to be joyful. See, this is a God that's loving. He wants us to be loving toward each other. And that's what He wants for us. I mean, it's all in the proof is in the pudding. So, and verse 17, and whatsoever ye do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. So, all that we do, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything you do, give thanks to the Lord. Anything you do, eat, drink, walk down the street, you help the old lady down the street, help people move, you say a nice thing to your family members, whatever. Even probably if you do something bad, say, hey, our Lord, you're here, you know, I put it in your hand. So, and when you pray, and I'll just say a verse. Bear with me, we're about that time, but Ephesians 5:20, we don't have to go to it, but Ephesians 5:20 is, in the, like I said again, we all can go from Colossians to Ephesians, but we pray to the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ by intercession of the Holy Spirit. So if you ever wonder how to pray, that's how you pray, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're thankful for all He's done, and I'm thankful for you guys, and I'll finish off in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank You for these wonderful truths. Let the Holy Spirit work in us. You know our hearts. You know what we've done. You know what we do. you know where we're at. Let us put on that new man and keep that new man and put off the old man. Because that the deeds of the old man is wrath of God, is the wrath of God. And we don't want to be part of that wrath. We want to be part of our position. And I'm grateful for everyone here. And I'm grateful for this church. And we're grateful for your grace. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.